السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We now move on to a very very important section, and this is the etiquette of conversing with one's husband. How should the wife speak to her husband? Whenever the youngest wife of Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala and related any hadith from her husband. Now they're saying the youngest wife, because Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they had few wives, sometimes up to four wives, right? So his youngest wife, the wife that he met, who was the youngest, whenever she, now you know when we read hadith, right, now we say an Abi Darda radiallahu ta'ala, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, an Salman radiallahu ta'ala, an Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the name of the Sahabi who is narrating the hadith from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the hadith she heard from her husband, that means Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, and he had heard it from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if she had to narrate that hadith to anyone, she would begin like this. She would say, my master narrated to me. My master narrated to me. She would refer to her husband as her master. Sayyidi. Sayyidi. An Sayyidi. Or Sayyidi qala li. My Sayyid, my master told me this. Right? So this word is used to show extreme respect. When the speaker attaches the word to himself or herself, such as Sayyidi or Sayyidina, so this phrase denotes a lot of admiration, a lot of love and respect. So when speaking with her husband, a wife should bear the following in mind. Number one, she should listen attentively to what he says without speaking between his sentences. You know, if you can engrave this in bold on your brain, do so. Ladies just don't like to listen. If the husband is still talking, they will chip in. They will chip in. So listen to this. Listen attentively to what he is saying without speaking between his sentences. After he has spoken his piece, she may ask something only to clarify what she does not understand. She should be silent when he is speaking, because any doubts she has will most probably be explained during the course of his talk. By interrupting his speech, she may cause him to omit some important detail or to dwell on some unimportant subject. So say for example, the husband wants to tell his wife that look, Eid day, right? We'll go to my mummy's place for breakfast, right? And lunch and supper, we'll go to your mother's house. Say now, for example, the lady's mother, right, phoned to invite them for Eid day. Right? Come spend Eid day with us. So the husband knows now, he has to go both sides. So he feels that, you know what, Eid al-Adha, generally I spend it with my family. So Eid al-Fitr, never mind, lunch and supper will go to her house, but breakfast will have it with my parents. So now, she asks him that, you know what, can we go to my mummy's place for Eid day? Or which meal will go to my mummy's place? So he is still saying, right, you know what, Eid day will go to my mother's house. Now he's still going to say that, you know what, we'll go to my mother's house for breakfast. After that, lunch and supper we'll have at your mother's house. Now before he can even finish the sentence, he's just saying, alright, you know, Eid day we'll go to my mother's place. Oh, your mother's place. Every time you must only go your mother's place. You know, then I must sit and cook and make so many things there. And I must go there and this, that. Now he didn't finish talking. Let the man finish talking. Right? Now if he said, No, Eid day will go to my mother's place. And he stopped. Now you can ask him, so must I phone and tell my mummy that we won't be coming at all to my mother's place? Because that's what you understood now from the statement. Now it's a little bit ambiguous. You don't know whether you're going to be going later. He only said, each day we'll go to my mother's house for breakfast. Now he's not saying anything about the lunch and the supper. So then you can ask, right? But if he said that each day we'll go to my mother's house, now before he can even finish talking, he's still talking and you chip in, now you're going to make an argument for nothing. So rather let him finish talking. He said, each day we'll go for breakfast to my mother's house, then lunch and supper will go to your mother's place. Right? Now, problem solved. Why? Good listening skills. Just listen nicely. Okay? If a wife needs to tell her husband to do something, she may tell him to do so without referring to what other men do. For example, instead of saying, why don't you take us out once a week, like how my sister's husband does? Right? She should rather say, would it be possible for you to take us out this weekend? Or, you know, I'm feeling a little bit cooped up, man. I'll really appreciate it if you can take us for a drive this weekend. Right? There's a way of saying things. Now if she has to say, yeah, you know, we're just sitting here in the house the whole weekend. You go out and you come. You know, my brother-in-law takes his wife and his children out. Your brother takes his wife and his children out. Only you can't take us out. Now you made a fight for nothing. Right? But had you asked nicely, had you told him nicely, that you know what, on Sunday after you rested and everything, if it's possible, can you please take us for a drive? We would like to go out. The children also want to go out for a little drive. We can pack a small picnic basket if you agree. Right? Now you'll get a favorable response. Right? But don't ever compare your husband to another man. Never ever make that mistake. Don't ever compare your husband to another man. Whether it's your brother, whether it's his brother, whether it's your sister's husband, whether it's a cousin, never ever compare your husband to another man. You are looking for trouble. Right? Okay, let's carry on. When referring to her husband in conversation with others, a wife should never use the pronoun he. Never say he. Yeah, he'll come just now. Yeah, we'll tell him he. No. Must speak with adab. Speak with respect. Today, these finer points have been removed from our lives. I was explaining to the mutakifin when they were in itikaf. I said, when we were in madrasa, right? When we were doing hijj. Now, we were not very small. I'm talking about now. Even the elder students, they were in their teens, right? But we never ever addressed our ustad as you. Right? If we wanted to ask our morana something, we would address him as maul sahab, morana. If the ustad had to ask us also, who filled in this book? Now if he had filled in the book, we won't say, you filled in the book? No. Maul sahab filled it in. Maul sahab filled it in. Not you filled it in. For a young person to address an elder as you is disrespectful. Understand? Now these finer points, today children, they address their parents as you, him, he, the old lady, the old man. Wife just addresses her husband anyhow. So when the respect is lost, then sometimes you get the wife complaining, oh, he insults me and he doesn't take my part. And then you get the husband complaining that she is insulting him. Why? Because there's no respect between one another. There has to be some level of dignity and some level of respect. Right? So she must never use the pronoun he. She should rather refer to her husband as my husband, or use a title that people normally use for him. Right? If, for example, he is a Hafiz and people normally call him Hafiz Ab. So she, when she's talking, she must say, Hafiz Ab will come and fetch us. If her father has to ask, how are you going to be going? No, Hafiz Ab said he's coming to fetch us. Right? So she must use the title of respect. Or maybe he's a doctor, people call him Dr. Sab. So she, Dr. Sab said he'll come and fetch us. Right? Or if he doesn't have a title like that, she can just say my husband, right? Or if she doesn't want to use the word my husband, now if they got a son, the son's name is Muhammad, Muhammad's daddy said he'll come. Sumaya's daddy said, if Sumaya is small and she's talking to ladies, Sumaya's daddy said he'll come for us. We must just phone him, he'll come for us. Right? So that's how she must talk when she's referring to her husband. A wife should always speak softly. A wife should always speak softly with her husband. She should never allow anger to make her raise her voice when speaking to him. This is another thing, our ladies, especially our South African women, because we're following the Western way, you'll find the lady is raising her voice, talking anyhow. Go to India, go to Pakistan, go to Saudi. I'm not talking about those ladies who have been influenced by the West. But you go to the villages, go to the outlying areas, and see the respect that the wives afford their husbands. You would actually think like, something abnormal, because we're not used to it. But that's how it's supposed to be. There has to be that level of respect. I'm not saying now so respectful that now you have to stand in front with your finger on the lips and all like that. No, not like that type. But there has to be some level of respect. Right? She should refrain from interrogating him with words like why, what, when, what for. She should never question him disrespectfully by saying, why you came late? Why do you beat the children like an animal? What on earth did you do that for? We never ever know where you are. Why don't you ever tell us where you're off to? She cannot interrogate her husband. Today, South African woman, this is a norm. This is a norm with them. Where were you? You couldn't even phone. They talk like that to their husband. That's not a way for a lady to address her husband. There's a way to do it. Yes, she could have told him. I mean, she didn't know now. Maybe he got late in the masjid or whatever, right? Now she didn't know now. She's worried sick. So now when he comes home, oh, I'm so relieved that you are home safe. I was so worried about you. I was so worried. I didn't know what happened to you. Right? Now then he'll say, hey, make maaf, man, I got caught up in the masjid. You know, there was a program. I didn't know there was going to be a program. Just that. Right? Then you can tell him that, hey, you know what? Next time, if something like that happens, just BB me, ping me, or send me a WhatsApp or something. You can tell him like that. You know, I really worry about you. Now there won't be an argument. Right? But if he just walked in the house, where were you? Where were you? Now you're looking for an argument. Now you're looking for a problem. Because you don't know where he was. Maybe his car tire got punctured. Right? Now he's dirty, he was hungry, he thought he's going to go for namaz. Coming home, he's going to have a meal. Right? It was raining, it's cold, and the tire got punctured. Now he had to change the tire outside in the rain, in the cold. His hands are dirty, he's hungry. He needs to wash up, he needs to eat, and it's all almost nearly Isha time. Now he enters the house and, where were you? Oh, now you just lit that. You know, you lit the wick on the fuse there, right? That thing is going to explode. Right? But if when he came in the house, you lovingly went up to him, oh, I'm so relieved. I was worried sick. What happened? Now he'll tell you, hey, you know what, man, car tire got punctured. Oh, now it's a different atmosphere now. Different atmosphere. Not a fighting atmosphere. Right? Instead of phrasing her questions like this, she should adorn them with sweet words and gentle tones so that his heart is softened and he will respond kindly to the questions. She will then have the answers she requires without hurting her husband. The object will be achieved. She wants to know where he was, why he was delayed. Now she can either come guns blazing, where were you? You know, waiting here so long for you, and get a fight. Or she can come sweetly and get her answers. Right? For example, instead of saying, why have you come late? She should say, we waited so long for you to return. I cannot rest until you return. Neither the kids nor I could eat without you. Right? Similarly, instead of saying, why do you beat the children like an animal? She should say, hey, you know what? You hit Rashid very hard last night on his ear. Children sometimes lose their hearing when struck so hard. We should then not fall prey to Allah Ta'ala's wrath. She could also say, when children are beaten, they begin to regard their parents as oppressors. They start forming the idea in their minds that their parents hit them merely to vent their anger and have no feelings for them. They convince themselves that they will be hit whether they do right or wrong. Such children then become stubborn and disobedient. We should therefore exercise patience when the children misbehave. In this way, we will be greatly rewarded. It is things like this that make parenthood a most rewarding experience. Instead of beating them, we should try to reform them in other ways. They will soon realize the error of their ways and change their habits. Right? In a like manner, instead of rebuking him for coming home late, she should say, I would be so happy if you could inform me exactly when you expect to return, so that I could prepare myself beforehand and have things ready for you. Right? You see, for example, if he came late, right? Now you could have told him, hey, if I knew you were going to come this time, I would have made the rotis fresh now. Now the roti is already standing for 2 hours, it must be gone a little bit stale. Or you can tell him, hey, you know this Kentucky chicken, I'm not talking about buying from Kentucky, I'm talking if you made at home. This Kentucky chicken, you must eat it hot, man. You must eat it. As soon as it comes out of the fryer, you have to eat it same time, then it's nice. Now I didn't know you coming late today, now I made that thing 2 hours ago, I hope you still enjoy it. Right? Then you tell him, next time, just inform me. If you're coming late, just let me know, then I can make the food fresh for you. So now you're talking out of concern. You're not talking out of a fight. Right? Instead of ranting and raving about being unaware of his whereabouts, she should merely express her concern for his safety, telling him that she would feel at ease if he kept her informed about where he was. Whereas interrogating the husband would have only negative effects and create animosity, phrasing her questions with wisdom and love will win his respect and love together with addressing the problem at hand. The incorrect approach will make matters worse, and if the husband is not a considerate man, he may purposely do things to aggravate the situation. He may start returning home even later, or he'll start hitting the children even more brutally, right? He'll start doing things stubbornly. When the wife phrases her questions more wisely, her husband's heart will soften and he will regret his ways. He will always take heed not to repeat his mistakes and will be proud of his wife's intelligence and diplomacy. Irrespective of the situation, the wife should maintain her composure and take care never to raise her voice when speaking to her husband. She should respect him at all times and never allow herself to fall prey to backchatting. By behaving respectfully and courteously, even the most tyrannical husbands can be molded like wax. Remember that the slip of a tongue at an inopportune moment may have implications that can plague one for a lifetime. Always adopt a soft tone when speaking so that no feelings are hurt. If this world fails to reward you for this approach, do not forget that the hereafter will not be so miserly to reward. See, a lot of ladies, they try it out for a while, right? They try, you know, the good character and everything. But because they're not doing it for Allah's pleasure, they're only doing it to win favor with their husbands. So after a while, sometime 1 year, 2 years, they get fed up. They say, hey, how long are we going to carry on like this? For 3 years, I'm talking to him so softly, he still doesn't inform me when he's coming late. He's still in such a foul mood. He's still like this, he's still like that. Look, how long will it carry on? The longest it can carry on is till death. And till death is not a long time. After death, now go enjoy. Now go enjoy yourself. You're a queen. You got your own palace. You got your own kingdom. You go and you do what you want to do, when you want to do. You don't have to take nobody's nonsense after that. A harsh approach will definitely cause harm at some stage. If one has been harsh towards one's husband, sometimes it can happen in the heat of the moment, right? An argument can break out. The lady could have raised her voice, etc. So if this did happen, then don't lose any time in apologizing and doing one's best to make him happy by serving him diligently. Same time, go and ask Maafi. No, I don't know what came over me. Please forgive me. I'm sorry for raising my voice. I'm sorry for saying hurtful things. I'll try my best never to do it again. Please forgive me. Right? Remember also that regardless of how wealthy your parents may be, you should never be fooled to think that you may leave your husband at any time and live with your parents. Although it may seem easy to phone your father or your brother to come and fetch you, it will be most difficult to return when the time comes. Remember, everybody gets on with their lives. Even your own parents, your brothers, your sisters, everybody gets on with their lives. Nobody wants an intrusion. Now, if your parents got you married, right? You married, you gone, or you're living with your husband. Now in their minds, right, this responsibility is now over. Right? Your brothers know, right, this responsibility is now over. Now you think, hey, I come from a very wealthy background, I still got my room there. Whenever I go home, my room is still there, my en suite is there, my father's car is there for me to use, everything is still there for me. Right? So if my husband gives me a headache, I can just walk out of this marriage. And sometimes you get some stupid fathers also, they tell their daughters like that. You don't take no nonsense, eh? He troubles you, you just pick up the phone. We are just a phone call away. That's stupid advice. But you get some stupid fathers also, stupid brothers also. They give their sisters and their daughters this type of advice. So this girl thinks, I don't have to take anybody's nonsense here. They trouble me, I can just walk out. Look, till your parents are alive, maybe you can walk out, go to your parents' home. If you walked out of your husband's home, you went away to your parents' home, 2 months down the line, your father passed away. Do you think your brothers are going to still look after you? Do you think your sister-in-laws are going to be very happy with your presence there? They're going to say, hey, you want to sell this house? We need our shares. Now, it's not our duty to sit and look after you. You go rent a flat somewhere, you start making pies and samosas and selling. Or you start go get a job, start working. It's not easy. It is not easy. Right? Leaving your husband, when you leave your husband, you walk out on your husband. Now, a lot of girls today's time, they got this adat. Any small argument, I'm going home. And nowadays, the girls got their own cars also. So they just jump in a car, they're gone. Or they phone their brother, come pick me up. Right? The moment you do that, you are leaving your husband in other women's hands. Other people are waiting. Other ladies are waiting. And he is vulnerable because his wife has walked out on him. So you are asking for trouble. If he ever returns to you, after sharing the company of others, he will never be the same person who was exclusively yours. He can never be. Although your mother and younger brothers will support you in your separation, you will rue your decision as time passes. Especially once your brothers get married and you have sisters-in-law to contend with, the occasion should never arise when they tell you, you could not live in harmony with your own husband and your mother-in-law. It is no surprise that you cannot live with us as well. That's what you'll be made to hear. Yeah, you couldn't even make a home with your husband. That's why he got married to that other lady. They're living quite happily. You were complaining, your mother-in-law is like this, your mother-in-law is like that. His second wife is quite happy with the mother-in-law. They got no problems. So the problem was with you. And that's why you're creating problems in our house also. Such a tacit remark is sufficient to instantly wilt the most blooming flower. Whereas a woman can bear 1,000 insults from her husband, she cannot withstand a single insult from her sister-in-law. Dry bread and water in your husband's home is much better than eating biryani in your brother's home. Always remember this. You got your own house, your husband, your children, you got your independence. Even if you have to have dry bread and water, no problem, but you eat it in peace. Whereas you go and have delicacies in other people's homes and then they'll talk after that. Ladies of the past, we often heard saying, the sedan came as a wedding procession and left as a funeral bier. A couplet from a poem quoted earlier reads, others may see your familiar appearance, but my self-respect will never allow that I see this calamity of separation without tears flowing from my eyes. And now what they're trying to say is, the day you get married, so you came with the sedan, you came with the wedding car, you know, the wedding car delivered you to your husband's home. Now the only time you will leave that home is when the hearse comes to pick you up. That you have gone there for better or for worse, you are going to spend your life with your husband. You will only leave from there with a hearse. The day you pass away, your lash will come out from that home. Otherwise, you are not going to separate from your husband. Her husband's home is the only home for a woman, and she should make every effort to ensure that life therein remains pleasant for all. She should accept every hardship with a smile, because these will all pass by with her still living in the same home. She should turn her attention to Allah Ta'ala whenever she encounters any difficulties, and she should cry to Allah to remove her problems. However, she should never think that she will be better off somewhere else. Inshallah, the time will soon arrive when Allah Ta'ala will make her home reminiscent of a garden of Jannah. Right? The fifth point here is, another important factor that every woman should consider when addressing her husband is that she should not phrase any sentence as a command. Don't command your husband. Hey, just go to the shop there and bring something. Don't command. Human nature dislikes being commanded, especially when a harsh tone is used. A person commanded in such a manner will either flatly refuse or grudgingly comply. Remember, I explained to you, you get two temperaments. If you have to command your husband, right? Either he's a person who he'll keep quiet, he'll do it, but very, very grudgingly. And eventually, he'll get fed up. Or he's a person who he doesn't take nonsense. You're busy baking there, now you need those eggs there immediately. You know, I told you must take me shopping on Saturday, you never take me. Now you go now and buy these eggs and come now, I need to bake. Now if you tell him like that, he may turn around and tell you, you know what? I'm very sorry, I'm not going. Now what you gonna do? Now what you gonna do? Jurists have even mentioned that a father should not use a commanding tone when instructing his child to do something. Because if the child refuses to do as told because of the tone, he will be sinful. He's not carrying out a direct command of his father, he'll get guna. The father should rather say, son, I think that it will be best for you if you do this. Son, I feel I'm thirsty. Will you manage to get me a glass of water? Instead of saying, get me a glass of water. Now if you tell him, get me a glass of water, and he doesn't do it, he gets guna. Therefore, instead of telling her husband, bring this, do that, tell him this, a wife should rather say, it would be best if you did this, or I would like you to do that, or I would really appreciate it if you could bring that. Now if the If the wife has to tell her husband, hey, you know what, man, I want to make your favorite cake, right? And I didn't realize there's no eggs. I'm so sorry to trouble you. Can you please just get me 6 eggs from the shop? When you're going for Asr, you can bring it for me. Now he'll do it. Why won't he do it? But if she's going to say, I told you take me shopping in a week. Now you never take me shopping. Now I need the eggs now. Now you go now and get me the eggs. Now he may bring rotten eggs even if he goes to bring it. Khair. If every wife could act on these pieces of advice, they will certainly see the positive difference it brings to their lives. May Allah Ta'ala guide all Muslims, all Muslim women, to act accordingly. Ameen. Khair, we will stop here. Inshallah, we will continue with this tomorrow. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته